With God's help this morning, I'd like to read out of St. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 24.
Bratje naše, da se uz Božju pomoć čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju, 25. glava. Početak čitanja na 24. stihu. Sveto Evanđelje po Mateju, 25. glava.
Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. And thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take for therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall be have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me, and I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous say unto him, answering him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, or took thee in, or naked, or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life.
Gracious Almighty God, in this morning hour we would come before thy presence, Lord, and with spiritual eyes we would behold thee upon thy throne, and we would glorify thee and magnify thee. Father, what a wonderful posture this is for mankind to be in, upon our knees before thee, the living God, magnifying thee, glorifying thee, praising thee, worshiping thee, for thou alone art worthy. Father, thou hast done so much for us. Thou hast done so much for all mankind. Father, thou hast been patient. Thou hast been loving. Thou hast been merciful, and thou hast been kind. And Father, for these gifts of life, Lord, that we receive, we fall down upon our knees, and we worship thee. we glorify thee. And we pray thee that in this day, Lord, that it would be our objective and our purpose, Father, that we would glorify thee, that we would long to honor thee, that we would long to lift up our spirits to thy throne, to worship thee, and to stand in awe before thee. Lord, for we know and read in thy word, Lord, that all that would worship thee must worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Father, it is in this that we desire to come before thee, even throughout this day. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, that as this body of believers has gathered together, Lord, that thou wouldst look down upon us with favor. May thy spirit be felt in our midst, that as we would consider this thy word, that we would consider just how great thou art, and Lord, and what thy expectations of us are, Lord, that thou dost desire that we would use the talents that thou hast given unto us, that we would labor for thee, knowing that in thee our labor is not in vain, and that we would do our part, Lord, to be thy hands and thy feet here upon this earth in giving food, clothing, shelter, visitation to those who are in need, knowing that we do it to thee, the Lord Jesus, when we do such things. And so, Father, we just pray thee that whether we are yet not believers, Father, or we are believers, or we've been believers for a very long time, Father, whatever our situation in this day is, Father, we just pray thee that we would recognize this truth once again, that it is not about us, Father, but it is about thee, that we would glorify thee, that we would be about thy business, doing what thou wouldst have us to do, and that we would fade in the background, and that we would lift up thy name, because thou art worthy. And so, Father, we just give thee thanks for the beauty of this day and give thee thanks for this time of year, Father, where we see life and that in abundance, Lord, and we just give thee thanks for all these things. And Lord, we just pray thee now that thou wouldst give us attentive ears and hearts, that we would listen to what thy message would have. And again, we would pray thee that thy spirit would come down and that he would speak to each and every one of our hearts, and that yet he would also speak to those who were not able to be here in this morning hour. Lord, that thou wouldst reach out to each and every one. We love thee. We thank thee for all that thou hast done. Blessed be thy name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Normally, in this chapter of Matthew 25, we read of the account that Christ had left us, these parables concerning on the 10 virgins, and then about the talents and how they were given and how each one occupied and increased their talent, except for the one where we started with verse 24. And what we read in here, we see that Christ brought this attention to those of that were listening, those of the Jewish, if you will, and he wanted them to understand what this parable was really all about. And like I said, normally we talk about the good things that is in here concerning our salvation. But here we also have in this the fact that there is a sin of omission. Now, there are sins that we commit at times. The Bible says that if we say we don't have sin, we make him a liar. So there are our faults, there are our failures at times, but there also is a sin of omission. And by that we mean that there are sins that we don't really look at and recognize as sins simply because we didn't do it. And this is what it's talking about here. This man that was given the one talent, and he missed his opportunity, if you will. He was given this talent like the others, but he was afraid. It says he feared because the man was as he says here, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And so he began to make excuses why he didn't increase this. And you know, that's so typical of us when we neglect and we have sins of omission. The first thing we begin to do is find excuses. Human nature happens to all of us. It's always perhaps somebody else's fault. So-and-so didn't do this, so I didn't do that. This is how we escape our sins of omission and don't even realize it sometimes. But this is exactly what the man did. He found excuses. He blamed the man that it was a hard man, and he sowed where he didn't reap and so forth. But his excuses didn't hold. As the Lord said in answer, said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Wicked and slothful servant. You know, that there's nothing more than a man with sins of omission. Wicked and slothful servant. And this is what he called him. Thou knewest that I reap when I sowed not and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then to my coming I should have received mine own with usury. So you see, the man didn't even have sense enough, if you will. This is how slothful he was, to put the money into, as he says, into the bank. We read it in Luke where he actually says, you could have put my money in the bank and I could have collected usury or interest in it. But the man who was so slothful didn't even do that. Sin of omission. And so it makes it pretty plain and clear. And then we see what it says. Just take the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But unto him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. Slothful, wicked servant. Even what he had was going to be taken away. Let this be a warning. Let us understand what he's saying here. That we don't dare be slothful and wicked servants when we are given the grace of God and the way of salvation. And so he goes on to say then, cast him in the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a harsh, harsh judgment for just being a sins of omission. And so we go on and read where it talks about then where he, the Son of Man, shall come in his glory, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep he put on the one side, and the goats, we know the story very well. And even the ones that did what they was told, they said, but when saw we thee this way? They were doing it and didn't even realize it. But he said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so that was then, therefore, done. They served the Lord with gladness or joy or whatever you want to say. They just done it. And there was no sins of omission here. But the others, it says here, they said the same thing. But when saw we thee this way, Lord? We never. How can we help you when we never saw this? And of course, the thing is, when you haven't done it to the least of these, you haven't done it unto me. That's the sin of omission. And so you and I, brothers and sisters, as believers in Jesus Christ, when we become converted, we have a responsibility. And our responsibility is not to just come here Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and any other time there's a chance to come, sit and warm the seat, hear the sermon, go home. There's more to Christian life than just that. And we're expected then, therefore, to be a witness. We can read where Christ said, "You are a light in a sin-sick world." You don't put a candle under a bushel. You put it on a candlestick so men can see the light of it. And that's what we're expected to do. We look at our lives. I have to look at myself. Is my life a candle? Have I been a light in this sin-sick world? Have I portrayed Jesus Christ with the way I live? The things that I say, the places that I go? I have to look at my life and say, am I committing sins of omission? Am I neglecting the opportunities like this man had an opportunity? So did they that was given this to feed this hungry and visit the sick and so forth. Now, granted, we're living in a country where it seems every one of us has all the food that we can probably ever want or need. Not a problem. And if we used to look around here and say, well, let me see brother and sister or friend, who could I help here that is hungry and that needs clothes? We live in the United States. Some in Canada, same way. And we got freedoms, we got jobs, we got money that we can have all these things. And so, how are we going to help anyway? Can you see then now how you and I could make excuses? We live in a country where there's a free will. We live in a country where there's people that got jobs, that they're working, they really don't have no needs. That is far from the truth. I can take you downtown Akron and I can show you people that are living down there that have nothing. Families that have nothing. And they come to these places that provide for these things and that they come there and perhaps find a place to sleep and something to eat, especially in the cold weather, a warm meal. Right here in the city of Akron. You don't have to go far to find people like this. In amongst ourselves, yes, we probably won't. But our job isn't just here amongst our brothers and sisters. That should be first. In fact, we read I think it's John, where he said, if you see your brother in need and you don't help him, you say, go in peace and be warmed and filled and do nothing for him. Where's the love of God in you? It says. You haven't done anything. Just go in peace and live and everything's going to go okay. Trust the Lord, no problem. No. We see what they need and then we give them help. Might be financial. It might be spiritual. Whatever the case might be. Are we aware of some of these situations that exist among us? Or are we so wrapped up, and this is where I believe is part of the problem. We're so wrapped up in life and jobs and making money and making a living and getting a pension or whatever the case might be. And so we're living that way so that we got a pension. We don't have to work. We don't have to worry later. I know. Did the same thing. Remember working 7-8 hours a day and then go home and not even sometimes go home, go to my little side job and go finish that so I can make a few more dollars so I can help my family. Sound like a good, wholesome, sound American helping his family, raising his children? No. No, that wasn't. Because I somehow made it through even when I didn't have that extra money. I made it through. And now that I don't even work, and now that I have a pension, I still make it somehow. How is that? That's because the Lord has provided. I put my trust in Him, and He has provided. I can testify to you that way. Some people say, well, what about retirement? How are you going to have enough money? You're going to have enough money when you retire? What's enough? How much you need? But what about others that have a lot less than you do? Perhaps someone has lost their job. If you've ever been, especially in my field, in the construction business, and been weeks without a pay. I remember working on a job, and I was on my knees a lot, and I, next thing I know, I had trouble walking. I couldn't, and so I had to have an operation on my knee. I couldn't work. I went, had them checked it out, and I thought, wow, this is a workman's compensation. No problem. I'll just turn this into them, and they'll cover me, and it says they'll pay up to 80% of your wages. But what they didn't tell me is I got to wait 5, 6, 7, 9 weeks before I ever got one dime. Try working 9 weeks without any paycheck with 5 kids. Thanks be to God, my wife was babysitting and bringing some money in there. So I know what it is to be without. And if it wasn't for brothers that saw what my need was and helped me, I would have been in big trouble. Maybe come shut my gas off or my electric. I don't know what they would have done. But thanks be to God, someone come through, a brother, two brothers come through with enough money to get me through those 9 weeks. And finally, when the money came, then I was able, and I even offered to pay them back. They would not hear of it. He said, no. We give that through the Lord. That's yours. Forget it. If you want to do something about it, help someone else. Forget giving it back. And that's exactly what I had to do. I looked and find people that are in need. They're going through such an experience myself. I know what it is. And so that's why I find it necessary to try. Brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you this to elevate myself and to make myself some great saint. Not at all. Not at all. I just thanks be to God that I obeyed His word when it comes to trying to find someone that is in need. You know, you only need so much money. You only need so much money. Pay your monthly bills when they come. How much more do you need? Now, when we have all of our desires and all of our wishes and all of our wants, and we start trying to cater to that, then we don't have enough money, for sure. And furthermore, how are we going to be able to give to someone else when we still want this and we want that and we want something else? Can you see then how we can step into sins of omission? Just because of our own selfish desires? How easy we get wrapped up in this kind of thing. Dearly beloved, it's so easy. And we got to guard against it. And there are people that are in need. There are people that are without. And we need to find out who they are and how that we some way can help. And usually it's nothing more than financial assistance. Many times, that's all it is. Some sort of financial assistance. And there are those that, if you want to look for them, if you want to know about it, you'll find them. So you see, what these here people have done, as they did it as unto the Lord. And that's the whole attitude that you and I must have when we think about helping someone. We do it as unto the Lord. If you're doing it because whatever reason, any other reason than you're doing it as unto the Lord, you're on the wrong track. You're on the wrong track. If you're looking for some pat on the back, if you're looking for some attaboys or, oh, he's a good man, don't look for it. Don't expect it. Because you're on the wrong track if that's what you're looking for. What we need to do, understand, not to be caught up in sins of omission. and give the honor and the glory, like the brothers prayed a while ago, that all the honor and glory might go to God, none to us. None to us. We don't deserve any of it. And if it wasn't for the leading of the Holy Spirit and the inspiration of God, none of us would be anywhere. But let's face it and let's admit that we do care for ourselves first. Understandable, but not totally. We're not totally to give to our own selves. There are others that are in need. And so, as we look at this, we can understand what the Apostle James writes, and I'd like to read that in closing here. In James, it says in chapter 1, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." It don't make it any plainer than that. In black and white, you can read it, and that's exactly what it means. In other words, you and I, as believers, are not just hearers of the word, but doers. That's the thing that it talks about in Matthew 25. Those that did it. And as they did it unto the least of these, his brethren. They did it unto Christ. We need to understand that concept, the meaning of all that. And then James also says in verse 17, chapter 4, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You and I, if we know to do good and we don't do it, it's a sin of omission. It's as simple as that. You know, when we hear God's word, and if he's pricked our hearts like he has done me, then we need to obey. And as we look back, and maybe we haven't obeyed the way we should have, and maybe we have sins of omission, we confess, and God is faithful, forgive us. All unrighteousness is sin, but he will forgive us our sins if we will commit them to him in faith and trusting, and from this day forward, work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling that would bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Amen.
End of our lives. We will all want to hear these words of Jesus. "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." These are the words that we want to hear. In preparation to hear those words, we'll need to be faithful to the commissions that have been given unto us in doing what God would have us to do. It's not enough that we would say, "Well, God is a hard God," as this wicked servant said. "God is a hard God, and I'm going to be careful that I don't commit adultery, I don't commit fornication, I don't commit this sin, and I don't commit that sin, and I'll be good in God's sight." It's not what God is saying here. The message was clear this morning. We need to be faithful to do what God would have us to do, those good things that God would have us to do, to be that light in this world. Not simply that we would say, "Well, stay away from these sins," but God is asking us to do what he would have us to do. In Galatians, we read, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith." Let's be looking to help those that are the least, the lost, and the lonely. Let's be looking to be a benefit and an encouragement to those who are in need of that. Let's be looking to make a positive difference in other people's lives, Monday through Saturday. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. The Bible speaks of the house of Stephanas. The house of Stephanas. The Bible says that they were addicted to serving the saints, to the ministry of the saints. They were addicted to that. That's what they wanted to do. They were continually looking at ways that they could make the lives of others to be of service to the lives of others. And so, as if we want to hear those words, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit." Inherit. In other words, we didn't earn. It's not that we merited it. We inherited it. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. May God give us grace thereto. Amen.